First Timothy chapter 1, and then 1 Thessalonians, where are we there? Chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1, one verse. And this is kind of an unusual message tonight. I don't know that I've ever preached along the lines of the pastor appreciation, but that's the month that we're in. You see it on different church signs, and they've designated the month of October for pastor appreciation. And I know that this church appreciates their pastor, and I know that their pastor appreciates you all. But I'm going to look at a man of God in the Bible tonight, the Apostle Paul. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, in verse 16, well, let me just read verse 15 as well. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." You've heard me say this before. I love the Apostle Paul. He says, if you're talking about saints, I'm less than the least. But if you're talking about sinners, I'm the chief. Amen. He had a humility about him. Look at verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy," and I've never thought about this until actually this verse came to me just sitting over there on the edge of the choir seat. But "howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern." Look at that word. "A pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And I guess what I would like to do tonight is look at Paul, not just in light of a pattern to the believer, but a pattern to the preacher, a pattern to the pastor, a pattern, beloved, to those in the ministry. Let's drop back now to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and I believe this will be a blessing to you. I hope it will. I read something today. It was kind of funny, and I thought y'all might enjoy it. And it said this: "A stranger entered the church in the middle of the sermon. He seated himself on the back pew, and after a while he began to fidget, leaning over to a white-haired man at his side, evidently an old member of the congregation. He whispered, 'How long has he been preaching?' The guy said, 30 or 40 years, I think. The old man answered, 'I'll stay then. He must be about finished.'" Amen. Some of you can get your wife to tell you on the way home. Amen. Amen. Must be about finished. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul said in verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." I hope you'll let these words sink in as we read them. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You're witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamingly we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Verse 1 of chapter 3, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. If correctly read, that's chapter 2 and the first two verses of chapter 3. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book. Thank you for these truths, our Lord, tonight. Lord, you've been just absolutely lighting a fire in my heart, Lord. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, that fire could be passed from bosom to bosom. And Father, tonight that we could understand, our Father, what a privilege it is to read after this dear man of God. And Lord, to sense his heart in these pages of Scripture. I pray now, Father, tonight that we would never be guilty of taking one another for granted. But our Father, tonight that you would just help us, Lord, to love one another with a pure heart fervently and to serve you together till you come. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. We see tonight, there's five things that God has helped me to pick out in the chapter that I want to emphasize tonight about this pattern, this man of God, the Apostle Paul. And I hope they'll be a blessing to you tonight. First thing I want to look at tonight is Paul's honesty. Paul was not, he used the word deceit. He was not deceitful in his preaching. And the Word of God, if you look at it here in verse number 2, he said, but after we had suffered before, were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He said, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. And I think it's important tonight as we look at this pattern that this man was not hypocritical. He wasn't standing and preaching one thing and living another thing. But his life was lined up with the Word of God. And he was not trying to deceive the people. He was preaching to them the truth. I have a little funny thing that happened years ago in the ministry. I wasn't there. I didn't witness it, but a preacher was preaching, and in the middle of his preaching, he gave an illustration. And the illustration was one of those that, you know, just unbelievable. It's just hard to believe what the preacher said. And so the preacher stopped for just a moment. He said, listen, folks, I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. Amen. And what he meant was the story that he told was a true story. But a preacher that's God called, a preacher after this pattern, is always telling the truth. You can't preach the Word of God and not be preaching the truth, because the Bible said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You say, what's that got to do with the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if you're preaching Jesus, you're preaching truth. If you're preaching the Word of God, you're preaching truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me for just a moment. I think this is important, looking at this pattern, the preacher's pattern. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's the thought is reiterated. Look in verse number 1. Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." I want to say something to you tonight. Listen, you don't have to believe what I'm saying, but it's the truth. There's a lot of men in America and all around the world that are standing in pulpits that have never received mercy. If they have never been born again. They know not the Spirit of God. Amen. It is a profession. It's something that they woke up one day and decided they would go to school and get an education and get up and listen. Their heart is, Jesus told us about them. There is far from Him. Amen. And so Paul said here, we've received mercy and we faint not. And, well, there's another verse concerning the gospel. Let me show it to you real quickly. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I didn't mean to look at this verse, but let's look at it. Back over in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." He said, "By which you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Watch this now. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." I'm telling you that there are pulpits everywhere, beloved. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to throw anybody a curveball, but everybody puts the Bible under their arm, goes to church, not a Christian, and everybody stands in a pulpit like this is not a God-called preacher. Amen? I'm telling you, Paul said, "I'm declaring to you the gospel, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." I've said this before. I wouldn't give you a nickel. Not one nickel for somebody's trying to feed somebody something that he hasn't eaten himself. Amen. I cannot tell you the times that I've been studying my Bible and praying and asking God for the message that God has knocked me out of my chair and I had to go to my knees and I had to get it right in my own heart before I could come to the pulpit and deliver it to God's people. God's Word's that away. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so watch this now. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he said, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." It reminded me, I didn't mean to say this, but listen, years ago, my grandmother was just enamored with this preacher. He was the pastor in a Baptist church. And my grandmother just kept on and kept on. My grandfather would remind you of Brother Rose, his just the way he was built, the way he cut his hair, and the way he talked and handled himself. And she kept on, "You got to hear him. You got to hear him. You got to come." And so my grandfather came. He came to church. It was the church I was saved in, not under this man's ministry. It was another man that had taken it years later. My grandfather sat through one service. Listen to me carefully tonight. Listen. He sat through one service. They got in the car on the way home. She said, "Well, honey, what'd you think?" She said, this is what my grandfather said, "If ever there's a snake in the grass, right there he is." He did not have much education, but he knew the Lord. And the Holy Ghost let him know something that everybody else was looking at the outside. Are you listening? They was impressed, amen, with the outside. And brother, I'm telling you, and sister tonight, it wasn't just a couple of months till it all came out. You know what it was? A snake in the grass. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, listen, this man of God is not deceitful. He's honest in his preaching. Amen. And that he set forth a pattern. He said, "Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Let me tell you something, beloved. Most of that stuff that's going on television, you know I'm telling it right. You're not supposed to suffer. You're never supposed to go through any trials. You're never supposed to be sick. Send us $100. And I tell you, let that little seed grow like putting a mater plant in the garden. It'll turn into 1,000. Send us another 100 and it'll turn into 10,000. I'm telling you something tonight, beloved. They're handling the Word of God deceitfully. Amen. The Bible said, "And all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Paul was not trying to impress anybody with the words of men's wisdom. Look in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, look at this man of God, his pattern. He said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourself, your servant, for Jesus' sake. I'm going to tell you something. God deliver us from pastors, say amen, that think, beloved, they're the king and the people supposed to serve them. I'm telling you, the best pastors, the best Christians, the best deacons are servants, amen, of the Most High God. And the way we serve God is serve one another. Word of God said here, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Listen, when Paul stood up to preach, it was something that already happened in his heart. He wanted to see it happen in somebody else's heart. You ever get a taste of this old-fashioned salvation, you'll want everybody to get a taste of it. Amen. You'll want everybody to come to that well and get a drink because it's good. To the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the first thing tonight in the message, I see Paul's honesty. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 13, just a moment. I don't know why I marked that now. I've forgotten why I marked that. But let's look at it. I think I do now. It all runs together on me after a little bit. Look in verse 13. The Bible said in verse 13 of chapter 13 of the book of Romans, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. He said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So here's a man of God that's a pattern to them that believe. I believe a pattern for pastors, a pattern for preachers, a pattern, beloved, tonight that we can celebrate because he was honest. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment. This was one of Brother Brian's favorite verses, and I'm glad the Lord let me run across it again today. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul preaching to the church and writing to the church of Philippi, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot in this world that's not true. There's a lot in this world that's not real. Amen. It looks like one thing on the outside, just like the scribes and the Pharisees did. Jesus looked right straight through them. He said, you're full of dead men's bones. Amen. He said, you're just a whited sepulcher. He said, you've made the outside of the cup clean, but the inside's filthy. The Word of God said here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So tonight, the first thing in the message we looked at is the man of God's honesty, Paul's honesty. The second thing I want to look at tonight, if you'll look at it with me, I want to look at the man of God's heart. I want to see Paul's heart for just a moment tonight. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, look in verse number verse number 7 and 8. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Let me say this tonight. A lot of times, if a man is meek, some people think he's weak. Moses was meek. Their Bible said there was not a meeker man in the earth. But that did not make him weak. Amen. God used Moses in a mighty way. And so you say, well, Pastor, a man that's gentle. Well, did you know that gentleness is one part, not of the fruits, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Are you listening tonight? I'm telling you, beloved, read Galatians. I believe it's chapter 5. Long about verse number 22. Part of that is just gentleness. And being gentle. So he said, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. I asked my wife one time. I didn't mean to say this. And I hope you'll take it the right way. I asked my wife, humbly. We went with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry
We stepped out of a salary and out of insurance, out of the pastorate, and stepped out. Somebody said, you just stepped out in the dark. No, you never step out in the dark when you're stepping out with Jesus. Amen. That's more light than you'll ever walk in. Say amen. When you know He's leading the way. And we were into that thing 6-7 months, something like that. God let us raise 70% of our support in the first year. And the rest of it I just raised going to and from prison. But I asked my wife about 6 months in it. I said, honey, why? I said, why is God blessing us? Brother Ralph, we had men with the Rock of Ages that were struggling. I'm telling you, that had been with them 4, 5, 6 years and had 30%, 35%, 40% of their support. And I asked my wife, I said, honey, tell me, why is God blessing us the way He is? This is what my wife said to me. I didn't know it, but she said, I'll tell you why. She said, when you stand up before the churches, you're as transparent as a piece of glass. She said, God lets them see your heart for those men. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, what God has done this week in my heart is let me see the heart of this man of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he said, being affectionately desirous of you, that we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, notice this, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. God deliver us from men that will stand in a place like this and the congregation is not dear unto them. Paul's heart, it's so easy to see that he loves these people in Thessalonica. Watch this now. Look in verse 17 and 18. He said, but we, brethren, he said, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. In other words, Paul says, I'm not there physically, but I still got you in my heart. Do you see that right there? Look at it. The Word of God said, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Listen to me tonight. I feel sorry for preachers that don't look forward to seeing their people. And one of the things that breaks the heart of a pastor is when he looks out and there's so many missing and that he knows in his heart, God is our witness. There's no good reason. Amen. And Paul desired to see him. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 11:28. We're looking at the man of God's heart for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 11:28. I don't remember why I wrote that down. That's okay. Let's just go there and see what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28. Oh, I remember now. And this is in the list of Paul's sufferings, the things that he's going through. I want you to see this tonight. The Word of God said, and besides those things that are without. In other words, Paul is saying there's all kinds of, remember the persecutions, the beating, the stripes, perils of countrymen, perils among false brethren. That statement alone tells you that what I said a while ago is true. Perils among false brethren. Listen to me. He said, besides those things that are without. I never have worded it or seen it exactly like this before. But there's something going on the inside of the man of God's heart. He said, besides those things without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of most of the churches. Is that what it says? Does it say the care of some of the churches? It doesn't matter, Brother Mike, if they were carnal like the church at Corinth, or if they were on fire like the church at Philippi. Paul carried the churches in his heart. He's the real deal. He's a pattern to those that hereafter should believe. A pattern for pastors. A pattern for preachers. Look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 9. You all know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So, some might say, well, if I'm the apostle to the Gentiles, I just forget about them Jews. How many of y'all are aware of Paul's life that he never forgot the Jew? He's writing to the church at Rome. Watch what he says in chapter 9. He said in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. There's his honesty again. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're never going to see a move of God like God wants to do without some heaviness. They're going to have to be some burden. They're going to have to be some praying. They're going to have to be some witnessing. They're going to have to be some fasting. The Word of God said here, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now over there in Thessalonians, he said this. He said, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Look what he said here in verse 3, in chapter 9 of Romans, verse 3. He said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, after the flesh. Beloved, I want to say this tonight. This is not just words. The Apostle Paul so loved the Jewish people that he would have given up his spot in the kingdom if God would have saved those people. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. I'm just reading the Bible. I take the Bible for what it says. Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We see the man of God's honesty, but we see the man of God's heart. We see his heart. We see his heart. Brother Gary, I hadn't been here too long. You said something to me I've never forgotten. I preached a message that I don't like to preach. I don't enjoy when God makes me get meaner than a junkyard dog in a message. Amen? Anybody that knows me knows that. I don't enjoy that. But there's times, beloved, listen, when God just rubs your nose in it and you have to stand here and preach it just like God give it to you. Brother Gary said something to me. I don't know how many months I'd been here. It wasn't too long. He said, Pastor, it don't matter how rough it gets, long as we know you love us. You think about that, would you, just a minute? I believe, Brother Gary, what God just spoke to my heart about when the Apostle Paul was writing or when he was preaching, I believe, beloved, that the people knew that man of God up there loves us. He might be preaching the word, rebuke, exhort. Let's see, what preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I can't remember the first two words. One of them was rebuke. What was the other one? What is it? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. In other words, two-thirds of it was negative. But they could see the man of God's heart. And it meant the world to him to know that he loved him. Think about that. Well, I see his honesty. I see his heart. I want you to see something that I don't think a lot of people would pay attention to. Look at verse 9. I want you to see his hands. I'd been pastoring Brother John and Wise for about maybe 8 or 9 months. And I'd been out of the construction work and out of the steel work, and my hands had gotten real soft. And I remember visiting with my dad. And Brother Steve, I don't remember the project we were into, but I actually had blisters that turn into calluses if you work every day. I showed them to my dad, Brother David, looking for a little sympathy. You know what Dad said? One word, candy. That's what he said. He didn't show me no sympathy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean look in his hands? Look in verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul said, I can't remember where the text is, and I'm not getting it exactly right. I'll paraphrase it. He said, I'm not wanting yours. In other words, he's saying, I don't want what you've got. I want you. That was the man of God. He was willing even to work with his own hands. He said, you're witnesses in God how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth her children. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28, there's a verse that goes hand in hand with this. Paul said in verse 27 said, neither give place to the devil. And I'll just say this. Let me just go ahead and say it. It needs to be said. There's help wanted signs everywhere, now hiring signs everywhere. And there's a whole lot of people in America that are giving place to the devil. They're sitting at the house, and they're going to keep sitting there as long as somebody keeps handing it to them. I had a first cousin that worked for me and my dad a week. My dad and I, my dad and me, I don't know. Y'all got the gist of it, didn't you? Amen. Brother Mike got tickled anyway, Miss E. You can tell me after church, I ain't listening right now. Amen. Had a first cousin work for us a week. Monday morning, it was time to start on the job, and he didn't show up. He finally come by about 10 o'clock. Dad said, son, where you been? He said, I can't afford to work. If I work, they're going to take this away and take this away and take this away. I thank God for a man of God that wasn't afraid to work. Say amen. I was in a meeting, Jubilee meeting, Antioch Baptist Church. Brother Houston knows where it's at up in Bristol. Years ago. And I was pastoring in Wise, and my brother and I, we hung two 20-foot ladders across the church building. It had a metal roof on it. Not the metal roof the way you think metal roof. It was them old metal shingles. How many knows what I'm talking about? They were kind of ornate, and we painted them silver. And somewhere or another that come up in discussion, there's three or four preachers there, and one preacher spoke up, and he said, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, I ain't doing nothing like that around my church. He said, I might, and I emphasize the word might. He said, I might mow a streak in the grass from the parsonage to the church if they didn't mow the grass. He said, but outside of that, I'm not doing anything. He looked at another old man of God, and he said, tell him, preacher, he ain't got no business working around that church. That's what he said. Now, the other preacher looked at him, Brother Preston, and he said this. He said, well, brother, I'm afraid I can't tell him. He said, I've never asked my men to do anything that I wasn't willing to do myself. I don't believe the Apostle Paul ever asked his men to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. We see his hands. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, neither give place to the devil. The Bible said, now let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. A lot of people never get this. Beloved, there's more to our labor. Listen to me carefully. There's more to our labor than just providing for our own family. Did everybody hear what I just said? Now, the Bible said if a man won't provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. But there's supposed to be more to our labor. Let's read it. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Is that Bible? Let me ask you something. When Paul worked with his hands, you reckon he just kept everything he could in his pocket? No way, Brother Steve, you're exactly right. He's probably like Brother Coulter. He's giving it away faster than it was coming in. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, God don't want us just to work, just to make ends meet. God wants us to be ready, amen, to be a blessing to somebody else. God has given us these hands. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate this man of God. Let me give you a couple things real quickly. Golly, it's after 8 o'clock. Let me give you these two things real quickly. We see Paul's hope. The man of God, he needs to preach with hope. He said, what do you mean? Look in verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Now, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul has told us over in the book of Corinthians, I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it was, about the judgment seat of Christ, about how that our works are going to be tried so as by fire. Some of it's going to be gold and silver and precious stone. Others going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn up. But this is not what the man of God has in mind right here. His hope, looking at the church at Thessalonica, was to see them where he was going. He said, what is our hope or crown of, or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? That was Paul. That's what Paul lived for, was to see somebody else go to the same place where he was going, escape the same life that he escaped, a life of sin. So he's a pattern. We see Paul's hope. The Bible said over there, I believe it was in the book of Titus, if I could get started on it, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not just looking for the Lord. He was looking for the Lord's people in the presence of the Lord. That was his hope. That was his joy. That was his crown of rejoicing. I don't have a lot of time to spend here. I'd like to spend a lot of time here. But the last thing in the message tonight, we see the man of God's help. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that? Well, if you look in chapter 3 and verse number 2, and he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer, a man that's worth his salt, understands that he can't do it by himself. He's got to have help. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's humbling to me, the help that God has given me around this church. I'm not going to name names, but you all know it's true. God has been good to us here at Bible Way. And I thank God for those that are just always, what can I do to help? What can I do to help you, Pastor? What can I do to take some of the load? If you'll look with me, please, just for a moment, at Philippians chapter 4. In verse number 3, that's real close. Let's just look quickly. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. Paul had sense enough to know he couldn't do it alone. I'm telling you, what a blessing it is when the ladies jump in there and help others, especially in some of the lowest, darkest valleys that they'll ever walk through in their life. And they're right there. That's a blessing. It was a blessing to Paul. That's why he mentioned it. If you look at Philemon, I used to say Philemon until I learned better. But if you look at the book of Philemon, when you get there, you'll understand what chapter that it's in. I think you will anyway.
the book of Philemon. Look at verse 23 and 24. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Paul wanted us to know God never put one word in this Bible without a purpose in it. Paul wanted us to know that he had some help in the ministry. When he couldn't go to Thessalonica, he said, I've got me a Timothy. I can send him over there to Thessalonica till I can get there. The Word of God, beloved, helps us to see. I'll say this tonight, and this is not to belittle anyone, but the help that God sends us in our brothers and sisters in Christ can never take the place of the help that must come from above. You see, in the book of Acts, Paul said it like this, having therefore obtained help of God. He didn't just need God's people's help. He needed God's help in order to continue to witness every day to those that were around him. I don't know about you tonight, but I think we're looking at a pretty good pattern here in the Word of God. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate that. I really do. I pray the Lord will just stir our hearts in these days. Let me just give you something real quickly. I think it, if we're not careful, Brother John, I think we think about the Apostle Paul as like a superman, a super preacher, so to speak. And he's a great, wonderful man of God. But I read something in this chapter in your hearing a while ago. He said in verse number 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. You can mark this down, youngins. Satan wants to do everything he can to hinder your family and my family, to hinder this church. Amen? You say, Pastor, that's an awful sour note to end it on. No, I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet. I love my wife. I hope she loves me. Greater is he that's in us. He might hinder us, Brother Steve, but not forever. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Amen. All hearts and minds clear.